Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. I am Moray Ishai Israel from the house of Israel, here to bring you another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. We are live from the house of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 2330 Kemper Lane. And tonight we will bring you nothing but the truth. Shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our program and our listening audience. We know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great fear and your great love toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel in the world. Yahweh is the one that has ordained us and raised us up to bring you his words of truth, and that's what we will do. And tonight, we will be dealing with your questions on this program tonight. You can type in your questions, and we will deal with your questions. You type in your questions on YouTube or Facebook if you want to. You can even call us on Blog Talk Radio at 347-838-8963, but you can commonly type in your questions. If you have any questions, we're dealing with your questions tonight. That's what our broadcast is designed for tonight, to deal with your questions. And because we have been dealing with some various different topics, especially the book of the law. The law is extensive, and there are many volumes to the words of the Most High in the book of the law. And you're not going to be able to learn the whole book of the law in one night or in one program or in a few of them. But we can help you get through the book of the law and learn it, because if thou be wise for yourself. But you do have help with some guidance through the book of the law as we are able to do. So if you have any questions, Don't hesitate to ask them on your YouTube streamline or Facebook streamline. We'll get to your questions today. And our first question is, has King David been revealed to any of the leaders of the house of Israel? And then they took it away, I guess. I don't know. Well, I saw the question. Has King David been revealed to any of the leaders of the house of Israel? And I can't tell you what any other leader has been revealed to know, but what King David has been revealed, what has been revealed about King David is that Yahweh has chosen him, chosen David, to be the king. And so the answer is yes, King David has been revealed. First leader was Mori Elisha Yisrael. And what did Mori Elisha, what did he receive? What was the revelation that Mori Elisha received about King David and this revelation that was revealed to Mori Elisha? And it is in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. And this is what, this is the revelation of King David that has been revealed to the leaders of the house of Israel, as the question was asked. And the answer is in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, you start reading at the 5th verse. For thus saith Yahweh, we have learned, heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travel with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no longer serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And so the revelation is David will be the king that will be raised up unto us in the time of our trouble. Not the Christ of the New Testament. Not the Mahdi that the Islamic, the Muslims speak about. And not the Buddha that the Asians speak about, or the people that are Buddhist or whatever. It's not these different people. But King David will be the one who Yahweh will raise up unto us in the time of trouble. You also see in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, where it reads, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. That's whose throne it belongs to. That's who it is. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Whose kingdom? David's kingdom. It's his kingdom. This is who Yahweh is speaking of. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. So it won't be any other person but David who will be the king. You also can go to the book of Hosea, the 3rd chapter. Well, Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 37, start reading at verse 21, where it says, and say unto them, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, that they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, not Christ, not John, not J, not B, not whoever, but David. Not anyone but David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Who? David. So this is the king that was revealed unto us that Yahweh has showed the leaders of the house of Israel, that David is the king. Now, if the question is more specific as to exactly who is this person today, this person, is that person, that exact person revealed unto us? As I said, I can't speak for all the leaders of the house of Israel, but this is how Yahweh revealed David to the house of Israel here in Cincinnati. Another question we have is, praise the mighty Yah, Genesis 1, 3 through 4, can you give some understanding on the division before they were separated? Let me go there. Genesis the first chapter, the third verse reads, "And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and Elohim divided the light from the darkness." So the question is, can you give some understanding on the division before they were separated? Well, they were separated when he divided them. So before they were divided or separated, it says that Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And as soon as Elohim saw the light, that it was good, he divided it. So there wasn't much of the light and the darkness being together. As soon as he saw the light, which was as soon as he made it, he saw it was good and he divided it. He divided this light from the darkness as soon as he made it, as he said. So there wasn't much before that. Now, before he made the light, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Now, that's what happened before he made the light. So before he made the light, there was darkness. And let me show you this in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. In the 5th verse, it reads, "I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things." So let you know that darkness was created. And if darkness was created and darkness was there before he made the light, it lets you know in order darkness was there. But what did Yahweh do with this light is important, because it says, and Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light, and Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim divided the light from the darkness. Now, he said, okay, let's separate this. And Elohim called the light day, and that's what he identified first. That's what he gave purpose to first. That's what he used to be first, even though you see it made after darkness second. But he made the light first. Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, which he named second. When did he, it's like, who did he call first? He called light first. He identified light first. He named light first. But he made darkness, obviously, before light. But he called light first. Called the darkness night, which he called second. And there were evening and there were morning one day. So even though darkness was before the light, he put the light as the chief. He put the day as the head. And so there's your, that's how he did that thing. I don't know if that's all you needed to hear, but how the Most High divided the light from the darkness. And what happened before that was, of course, a couple of things happened before Yahweh made light. Well, I shouldn't say a couple of things, but four things happened before Yahweh made light. And those four things were, he created heaven, he created earth, he made darkness, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Those things were already in existence before the light was created. And you'll see that in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the first five verses. Praise the mighty Yah. This said, we are taking your questions on our program. It's a live program, though I'm not on camera. It is a live program. If you want to ask your questions, just type them in on our YouTube or Facebook chat lines, and we will take your questions. If you feel so compelled to call us, it's 347-838-8963. That's 347-838-8963. You can also ask your questions that way. But we're just taking your questions on our broadcast. There's been teachings. We have been teaching about the book of the law, as Morey Ishaya has dealt with the study guide, and the book of Genesis was the first thing that we had dealt with. And if you have any questions on the book of Genesis, let us know. We'll give you your answers that pertain to what we can, or any questions on the law at all, or any questions on anything pertaining to the word of the Most High. And remember, the word of the Most High is your life. So there's really not many questions you cannot ask. Say, praise Yah, I was having the understanding that anything divided was one. Well, yes, if things have to be divided, that means they were together. That's why it's divided. Or it's also divided to just show you that there's a difference. They could have started out together, but the Creator divided them to make a difference. And that's what the light is for. You'll see that in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse, it says, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and to let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. So he made the lights to show the difference, the difference. They were already divided in Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse. The light and the darkness, the day and the night were already divided. But he made these luminary bodies to show their difference. And even in the, even though the day and the night are divided, as the statement that you made, it is one. Everything Yahweh does is united. Yahweh is one. Yahweh is one, and everything he does is one, because everything Yahweh does is complete. So, but there are differences within all of this oneness. There's differences. That does not take away the fact that Yahweh is one. So Shalom, praise Yahweh. Many idol worshippers, says Isaiah 53 verse 10, is talking about a idol. Can you please explain Isaiah 53 verse 10? Let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 10th verse. All right, I got another question too that we'll get to. Right now we're going to deal with Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 10th verse. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 10 reads, "Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand." Well, of course, this is not talking about an idol. It said, "Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him." What is he talking about? You have to go back a little bit further to understand what this is about. And we'll just start at the, let me see. I'm going to have to start at the fourth verse. It says, "Surely hath he borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of Elohim and afflicted." Because there are people that think that this person is JC. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with him, and with his stripes are we healed." Now, you know what these stripes are. The only place you see somebody taking stripes is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, where it says 40 stripes. 40 stripes. And who's been telling you we are fasting 40 days and 40 nights because we're taking the stripes of judgment? These stripes of judgment are 40. And who's been doing this 40 day and 40 night fast? And this is because Yahweh is showing you his servant. "And with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away one, everyone to his own way. And Yahweh hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep to the before the shearers is dumb, so he opened it not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land, out of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." Well, if he was offering as this idol, JC, then he should have died, and there's no seed that he can see. He shall prolong his days, but JC died at 33. And his pleasure, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So this is Yahweh's righteous servant. And we could go into a whole class, and we will most likely on Wake Up Jacob, why JC did not bear the iniquities, nor was he a righteous servant. But I'll show you what a righteous servant does, and then I'll get to the other questions. In the book of Exodus, or Deuteronomy, rather, the ninth chapter, in the book of Deuteronomy, the ninth chapter, it says, in verse 10, and Yahweh delivered unto me the two tables of stone written with the finger of Elohim, and on them was written according to all the words which Yahweh spoke with you on the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that Yahweh gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And Yahweh said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence. From thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, that they have made them a molten image. Furthermore, Yahweh spoke unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a great nation, mightier and greater than they. And so I returned and came down from the mount, and the mount burnt with fire, and two tables of covenant were in my hand, in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against Yahweh your Elohim, and had made your molten calf. Ye turned aside quickly out of the way which Yahweh had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my hand, two hands, and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahweh as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. And I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. So, of course, a righteous servant doesn't go on the hill and get crucified by heathens and stabbed in the ribs and then put a wooden or a crown of thorns on their head, and then they say, this is your king, Jews. No, that's not the righteous servant of Yahweh. The righteous servant of Yahweh falls down before Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights for sin. And Moses did this, and the people were spared of what Yahweh wanted to do, which was destroy us all and make Moses the patriarch of the children of Israel. So you would have been all Mosheites. Instead of the 12 tribes, you would have been 12 tribes of Moshe. But he didn't. He said, no, y'all, just let me fast 40 days and 40 nights for sin. And Yahweh said, okay, but as I live, shall the whole world be filled with the glory of Yahweh. And he didn't kill us because Moses stood in the gap. And that's what the righteous servant does. And that's what those stripes are. And so this Isaiah 53:10 is not talking about the idol or the Christ of the New Testament, but it is about Yah's righteous servant. The next question we have is, there are brothers in Georgia that are gathering. Should we be in one place, or that is Zephaniah 2. So, yes, there are people in Georgia that have gathered themselves together, and they have land, and they are living off of the land, to my understanding. And that's good. That's good. That's very good. But should we all go to Georgia to gather with them? Or should we all come to Cincinnati to gather with us? Or should we all go to wherever else? Zephaniah, the second chapter, verse 1 says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. And how did he say gather yourselves? He just said gather yourselves together. That's what he said. Just gather yourselves together. Did he say gather yourselves together here or gather yourselves together there? No. But let me show you the type of gathering he wants. It's in Psalms 50. And it's not to say that you shouldn't go to a certain location, but Yahweh, he wants this kind of gathering. In Psalms 50, verse 5 reads, gather my saints together unto me. Unto who? Unto me. Not me, Isha, but me, Yahweh. That's who's speaking here. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's who should be gathering. And that's where you should gather. Gather unto Yahweh. And you could be in Sparta, Georgia. You can be in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can be in Jackson, Mississippi. You can be in Jacksonville, Florida. You can be in California. You can be in New York. You can be in London. You can be in Ghana. You can be in Tokyo. But are you gathering yourself unto Yahweh in a covenant by sacrifice? So we say, gather together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree go forth, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yah come upon you. Seek meekness. Hold on, I don't want to misquote it. I know it, but sometimes I misquote stuff. It says in Zephaniah, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. But he already let us know. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you. Seek ye Yahweh. Yeah, you got to look for Yah. You got to want to find Yah. You got to want to hear Yah and know Yah. You want him to see you, and you want to see him. He said, seek Yah. He didn't say seek Atlanta. He didn't say seek New York. He didn't say seek the South. He says seek Yahweh. All ye meek of the earth, and you got to be meek. That's how you have an abundance of peace, to seek Yahweh. All meek of the earth, which have wrought, which means do, which have wrought my judgment. And you got to know the judgment of the Most High. Seek meekness. He's letting you know. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger. So you really want to gather yourselves together unto Yahweh. And if that's what you're doing in Georgia, praise Yah. But that's what we're doing in Cincinnati. And that's what you're doing in Texas. And that's what you're doing in Washington. And that's what you're doing in Florida. And that's what you're doing wherever you're at. You are gathering yourself unto Yahweh. Because that's where you should gather. And if you gather unto Yahweh, then look at this in the book of Hosea. In the book of Hosea, the first chapter, it reads here in verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And if that's how we're going to be, then how are you going to get all of us in one single place? Only Yah can do something like that. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it should be said unto them, you are the sons of the living Elohim. Then shall the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel be gathered together. And now you're talking about a gathering. But he's still not letting us know where. They shall be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land of Egypt, for great shall be the day of Yisrael. And this lets you know still, you gather yourselves together, and there's only one place you'll see in the scriptures where you're going to gather, and that's where Yahweh told you to gather, outside of Jerusalem. He said, gather together unto me. And Yahweh is everywhere. And you got to know how to gather to Yah. And the way you, and he said, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's who's gathered unto Yah. And at the time that he decrees and declares, and at his time appointed, he will gather us all together where we need to be. Praise mighty Yah. Another question. Was there two creations in Genesis? Genesis 1 and 26 and Genesis 2 verse 7. And if you go to Genesis 1 and 26, it says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the creeping, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Okay, that's when Yahweh made man. It's also verse 27. So Elohim made man in his own image. In the image of Elohim made he them. Male and female made he them. Verse 7 of the second chapter of Genesis, it says, and Yahweh Elohim formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And no, these are not two different creations. These are one in the same. There's only one time Yahweh made man. He didn't make man again right after he made man. You would have saw all type of reasons why that would have occurred. But no, it's the same time. It's the same time. It's the same thing. It's just given to you from a slightly different perspective. And then Genesis, the first chapter, he's just telling you, he said, let it come to pass. And the second chapter is showing you how it was established, as it should in the second chapter, showing you how it's established. So praise the mighty Yah. Again, we're taking your questions. If you have any questions, then type them in on our YouTube or Facebook chats, and we'll get to you. And right here on Facebook, we see, who is the father of the Nephilim? Well, what is a Nephilim? Some people might not know what a Nephilim is. And a Nephilim means giants. Giants. And it also means men of renown, or renowned men, giants, and known men. And if you see this in the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, because people want to know who the father of the Nephilim are. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, verse 1 reads, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters of Zion, I'm sorry, and the daughters were born unto them. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he too also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in Hebrew. That word giants is Nephilim. in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So who were the fathers of the Nephilim? Nephilim being giants and men of renown. This is what they are, known men, large men. And the word does not mean a hybrid of an angel and a person. It simply means that they're giants. They can be giants in stature of size or giants in notoriety. But these were also vile people, famous. That's what they were called, giants. They were famous people. And why were they famous? They were famous because they were largely and hugely and insanely evil. Yes. That's why the Most High destroyed the world, because of this defiling of the holy seed. The sons of Elohim were the line of Seth, the descendants of Adam and the descendants of Seth. So the children that were born to people like Enos and Canaan and Mahalaleel and Yared and Enoch and Methuselah and Lamech, the people that were born unto them were sons of Elohim, and the daughters of men were Cain's children, and they mingled, which they shouldn't have, and Yahweh had to destroy them. But these, the fathers of the Nephilim are simply the fathers or the sons of Elohim, who were the sons of Adam, his line, and his generations. And you see that. You see there's two different. You see the generations of Adam. And you'll also see what it says here in Genesis, the fourth chapter. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. It says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Arad. And Arad begot Mahuyael. And Mahuyael begot Methuselah. And Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech took him two wives. The name of the other one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such that have cattle, meaning he was the first one to do that. And his brother name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. So you see, these were the children of Cain. They had children, and they all had children. And they produced children and children and children. And they were the children of men. Everything they did was for their own gain. That's why you see Cain, he named the city after his son. What have we named our cities after? Moriah, Yahweh sees, and things like that. So we didn't name, you know, like Jacob named the place Bethel, the house of Elohim. But a lot of times the children of men named places after themselves and did things for themselves. Everything they did was for themselves and not for the glory of the Most High. So those were the children of men, as opposed to the sons of Elohim, who did things for the glory of Yah. Another question we had here online is, Shalom Moray, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Were the priests, the widows, and the fatherless exempt from paying tithes? No, they were not. And I'll show you first off, were are widows and fatherless exempt from paying tithes? Well, only if anybody is exempt from paying tithes that doesn't have an increase. First off, anybody that does not get an increase, you can't pay tithes because you don't have an increase. So what are you going to use? You understand? It's like a child that does not make any money. You got a 5-year-old child not making any money, 10-year-old child, 12-year-old child not making any money. They don't get an increase. So what are they going to tithe? Or a poor man that does not get an increase, what is he going to tithe? What is a poor woman going to tithe? Is any person going to tithe if they don't have an increase? You don't have land. You don't have cattle. You don't have gold. You don't have silver. You don't have fabric. You don't have anything coming in. How can you tithe? You cannot tithe. And that don't matter if you're a priest, widow, fatherless. It doesn't matter who you are. If you don't have an increase, there's no tithe. Once you get an increase, then you tithe. Because the tithe is to be a tenth of your increase. But yes, you still had to pay tithes because whoever gets increase gives the tithe. I'll show you in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, it reads in verse round 22. It says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year." Now, he said thou, meaning you. If Yahweh wanted to be gender specific, he would have said all men, all women. He just said you, just like it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day you shall rest, thou and thy son. So thou is who? You and your son. A woman can have a son. A man can have a son. Thou, you, your son, your daughter, your man, everybody. So you shall tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field shall bring forth year by year. And don't tell me a woman can't have a field. When a virtuous woman sees a field and buys it. Don't tell me a widow can't have a field because her man could have left her the field. Her father could leave you the field. It's just a lot of times the fatherless and the widow are left without. And so the tithes are to help them. And so you can have an increase even if you're a widow, even if you're a fatherless. And then if you look in the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter, because the tithes would go to the priest. They're the ones that had to keep up with it. So look here in the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter. I'll get right to it. In Numbers, the 18th chapter, I guess I'll start reading at the 20th verse. And Yahweh spoke to Aharon, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear the iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an offering unto Yah, as a heave offering unto Yahweh, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for Yahweh, even a tenth part of the tithe, essentially a tithe of a tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye shall offer a heave offering unto Yahweh of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel. And ye shall give thereof Yahweh's heave offering to Aharon the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer of every heave offering of Yahweh, of all the best of thereof, even the hollow part out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best part, the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the wine press. And you shall eat it in every place, ye in your households, for it is your reward for the service, for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, when you have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. And so there you have how the priests were to tithe. They had to offer a wave offering before Yahweh and give that to Aharon and his sons. But this is what was done. So that even the priests had a form of making sure they tithed, even though they didn't get anything. But they had to tithe this part of the offerings that were given over to them. So praise the mighty Yah. Beautiful questions. We only have a few more minutes left before we sign off. And if you have any last questions before we do sign off, send them in quickly, because we are going to sign off in a few more minutes. Praise the mighty Yah. Of course, this has been Nothing But the Truth, live from the House of Israel, Cincinnati. No, we did not do a video today, but it is still live. If anybody, you know, some people has thought when we not do video, we're not live, but we are live. We're live directly from HOY Cincy Radio headquarters. Praise the mighty Yah. So if anybody has any last questions in these last few minutes, I'll try to attempt to answer them as directly and accurate as possible. But if not, that's okay, because we are coming on the time of the end of our program. But make sure you remember, everybody that is joined unto us, with us, the 40-day and 40-night fast. We are now, praise the mighty Yah, in our night portion of the fast. So we're fasting for 40 nights. And praise Yahweh that everyone that did complete the 40-day fast, praise the Most High for your diligence and your servitude to Yahweh and your unity with everyone that did it. It was a beautiful fast. And it continues to be a beautiful fast. And we hope that Yahweh will continue to magnify his law and make it honorable in this fast. And so praise the Most High. So we are going to adjourn for the night. If there are no other questions, I appreciate everybody that did send your questions. Very thought-provoking and relevant questions. And remember, we have a question and answer portion every Sunday on Wake Up Jacob at 7 o'clock right here from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, the Wake Up Jacob radio show. We answer your questions as well every Sunday. You can get your questions answered. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so do we here at the House of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. And may Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh's peace be upon you. Shalom.
If you know you're walking, yes.